Welcome to the National Institutes of Health. I'm Robert Bach, Press Officer for the NIH's Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development, the NICHD. Thank you for joining us for today's research conversation. Our host is John Ilekas of the NICHD's Pregnancy and Perinatology Branch. Today, Dr. Ilekas will interview Dr. Yoel Sadovsky of the McGee Women's Research Institute and Foundation at the University of Pittsburgh and Dr. Carolyn Coyne in the Department of Microbiology and Molecular Genetics at the University of Pittsburgh. They have published a recent paper in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences on how the cells of the placenta resist infection by viruses. Dr. Ilekas.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. First, let me set the background. The placenta is an organ that connects the developing fetus to the wall of the mother's uterus and hooks up with the mother's blood supply. Essentially, placenta is a lifeline. It conveys oxygen, nutrients to the fetus, and removes waste. In fact, the fetus couldn't survive without it. A number of disorders and conditions can occur in the placenta and jeopardize the health of the fetus and often the mother. A big part of the NICHD's mission is to ensure that all children are born healthy, and for this reason we support research on the placenta to learn how it develops under normal situations and the kinds of things that can go wrong. Information from these studies will be useful in preventing and treating conditions that affect the placenta and hence the well-being of the fetus. I'm very proud today to welcome our guest, Yoel Sadovsky. Yoel studies the cells of the developing placenta and the molecular reactions that occur within them. He and other researchers in his lab concentrate on three main areas: how the placenta transports nutrients, how it adapts to injury and changing conditions, and the role of molecules called microRNAs that play that are in the placenta and play a role in the placenta's growth and development. Next, I'd like to introduce Dr. Caroline Coyne, who is a partner in the study. She studies how the host cell wards off invading viruses, and her main interest is research in protecting the fetus against microbial infection. Without getting too bogged down in details, let me first explain that RNAs are molecules that carry out instructions of DNA, translating these instructions to make a protein. There are several kinds of RNAs. Dr. Sadovsky and his colleagues study a particular kind of RNA found in the placenta and other cells as well, called microRNAs. As the name implies, microRNAs are much smaller than our other RNAs. However, they aren't involved in making protein. Rather, they function to regulate other kinds of RNAs. Cells produce microRNAs to regulate their function. In addition, cells can also secrete microRNAs in tiny balloon-like sacs called vesicles. Once these vesicles are secreted, they can latch on to other cells. After attaching to the surface of the cell, the vesicle injects its contents into the cell. Once inside a receiving cell, the microRNAs can influence the functioning of the recipient cell as well. Dr. Coyne and Dr. Sadovsky and the other members of the research team study trophoblasts. Trophoblasts are the outside layer of cells of placenta, the placental cells that come directly in contact with the mother's uterus. They found that trophoblasts resist being infected by many different kinds of viruses. They trace this virus-fighting ability to a family of microRNAs within a trophoblast cell. What's even more significant is that these virus-fighting microRNAs could be transferred to other types of cells, where they help the recipient cell ward off viruses also. Their discovery raises intriguing possibility that this family of microRNAs might one day be harnessed to help cells in other parts of the body to fight off infection with viruses and thus be used as a potential new antiviral therapeutic drug. Caroline and Yoel, thanks so much for being here today and joining us. Yoel, I have a first question to you. Could you please tell us how you conducted this study and how you figure out that all the activity is going on inside a trophoblast cell?
Sure. John, thank you very much for this superb review. We know that viruses can affect many tissues in diverse types of organisms. And in fact, almost every living organism can be susceptible to diverse effects by viral infections and its potential adverse impact on different cell types. Pregnancy is a unique state because of, number one, the need of the mother to protect the developing embryo, the fetus, and second, because of the potential of immune compromise when pregnant mothers, because of high level of hormones, may potentially be more susceptible to diverse types of infections, including viral infections. So Caroline Coyne came to our lab with a simple question. If we take trophoblast cells, which, as you said, are the cells lining the placenta and are directly bathed within maternal blood, if we take those cells and culture them in vitro, are they going to be more or less or equally susceptible to viral infections compared to other cell types in the body, which we know are susceptible? And much to our surprise, when we did this experiment, Caroline has found in her lab, using our cells, that trophoblast cells, the placental primary cells, are much more resistant to diverse type of viruses compared to other cell types that we used. So that was our initial observation. It was quite surprising. We infect cells in the same way in parallel experiments, but trophoblast cells, primary human trophoblast cells derived from term placentas, were much more resistant to viruses compared to other cell types. That question led us to try to figure out how this actually comes about, what might be the mechanism by which trophoblasts can protect themselves against viruses. And the first experiment we did to address this question was to take medium from the trophoblast cells, transfer them to cells that used to be susceptible, that were easy to infect with viruses. And much to our surprise, we found that non-placental cells that used to be highly susceptible to viral infections now became resistant by exposure to medium that used to bathe trophoblast cells. So this is how we made our initial observations, led us to believe that trophoblast cells, specifically primary trophoblast cells from term placenta, produce some kind of chemicals or mediators or molecules that can be transferred to other cells and confer viral resistance to recipient cells.
Very, very interesting. Yoel, I have another question to ask. So how did you make the connection that this family of microRNAs or molecules had antiviral properties?
We actually found it in a bit of an indirect way, John. When we transferred the conditioned medium to non-placental cells, we realized that we may be transferring some kind of a vehicle or a shuttling container that may confer this resistance to the non-placental cells. And we tried to use all kinds of chemical and mechanical means to try to disrupt that signal. And we found through a series of experiments that signal is contained within small vesicles that cells produce. They're of nanometer size, so they're called nanovesicles, and in biological terms, they're called exosomes. And these nanovesicles, these small nano-sized containers, are able to transmit that antiviral signal to the recipient cells. When we interrogated the placental-specific types of those nanovesicles, we found out that one of the only things that they contain a high amount, which is unique to trophoblast cells and not found in other cells that are capable of producing those vesicles, we found that there's a family of small RNA molecules that you alluded to before, called microRNAs, and there's a small family of those microRNAs that are expressed only in trophoblast cells and cannot be found in other non-placental cell types. This is a family of microRNAs called the chromosome 19 microRNA cluster, or abbreviated C19MC because of that name. The gene that encodes those microRNAs is located on chromosome 19 in the human genome. They're found only in primates and in the human genome and not in any other lower organisms. And we found that during pregnancy, if you compare the level of those of microRNAs from that cluster to all other microRNAs, we found that those microRNAs are by far expressed at the highest amount compared to any other microRNA. And also, they're highly packaged within those small nanovesicles, the exosomes that I alluded to. So to confirm that relationship between those microRNAs within the nanovesicles and the antiviral effect, what we did was we took, isolated the exosomes only and transferred them to the non-placental cells, and we were able to confer the same antiviral effect by the transferring of the vesicles alone, not the entire medium volume to the recipient cells. And then we're able to also reproduce the effect specifically by transferring the microRNAs that come from this cluster, the chromosome 19 microRNA cluster, the C19MC. Those microRNAs, when introduced in isolation into the recipient cells, were able to confer the antiviral effect.
Wow, very interesting. Caroline, I have a question for you. From your perspective as an infectious disease expert, and you're well, based on your work on the placenta, specifically, what are the microRNAs doing to help cells fight viruses? And in addition, is this virus-fighting ability happening only within the placenta, or does it benefit other types of cells as well?
I guess I'll start with your second question, which is no. The mechanism by which we have found that these microRNAs work is actually not specific to the placenta and is a process that seems to also be enhanced in these non-placental recipient cells when we expose them to these placental microRNAs or these nanovesicles or exosomes, as Yoel just mentioned. And when we began sort of looking into the mechanisms by how these microRNAs could exert such potent antiviral effects, one of the things that I think struck us immediately was that these microRNAs are actually antiviral to really diverse viruses. And so these are DNA viruses and RNA viruses and viruses that do not really share any sequence homology or any sort of shared characteristics between them. And so what that at least told me is, as someone that works with viruses, is that it must be some sort of cellular-based mechanism, so that these microRNAs were not directly killing the viruses. They were somehow working on the host cell to perhaps alter the properties of these cells to make them more resistant. And so we looked at a number of pathways that have been described for many years that are antiviral. And we actually found that the microRNAs were upregulating a pathway in cells that exists as a cell survival pathway. It's a process that's called autophagy, which is kind of a complex name, I suppose, but the process is quite simple in that autophagy exists to rid damaged organelles from a cell. And so it's a pathway that normally exists within a cell to promote cell survival. And what had been shown previously by other groups was that autophagy could also function as an antiviral pathway in some circumstances, whereby if a cell had an enhanced level of autophagy, they may actually be able to resist viral infections a little more. And what we found was that these microRNAs actually very, very potently upregulate autophagy in these non-placental recipient cells, and that the upregulation of this pathway was actually required for the antiviral effect. And if we blocked this pathway, we could actually now make the cells, again, susceptible to viral infections. And I think what's really sort of fascinating about this is then the question sort of becomes, are the trophoblasts themselves also upregulated in this pathway? And we actually found that they were. So if we just look at trophoblast cells, they actually exhibit a very, very high level of just basal autophagy, much higher than you normally see in other non-placental cells. And we are have some evidence, at least, that this upregulation in the trophoblast cells themselves is actually one of the mechanisms. They likely have many mechanisms to resist viral infection, but we feel that this is probably one mechanism that the trophoblast cells actually utilize to resist viral infections themselves.
Wow, very interesting. So, Caroline, let me ask you an intriguing question. What would be involved in harnessing this virus-fighting ability, using it to prevent viruses from infecting other kinds of organs and tissues?
Well, you know, it's a question that Yoel and I have discussed often, sort of amongst, you know, we have coffee together once a week and discuss this project. And as we kind of were working on this project, that sort of became the next step, is how could we use this? It's a really fascinating phenomenon, and I think it tells us a lot of great information about the placenta and perhaps how the placenta has evolved to not only itself resist infection, but perhaps confer this resistance to other cells. And what I find really fascinating is that these microRNAs, and presumably the microRNAs within these nanovesicles or exosomes, can actually be found circulating in the serum of pregnant women. So women that are pregnant have these microRNAs circulating. And so that would at least indicate that the microRNAs themselves may not have any sort of off-target or potentially, you know, dangerous effects. And so we've certainly thought about, if we could engineer exosomes that resembled the exosomes from placental cells, we could certainly use those as delivery vehicles to deliver either microRNAs or potentially even other forms of therapeutics to fight viral infections. And so that's something that we're definitely interested in and talk about often.
Well, it sounds like fantastic work, and I know you both of you will move forward in elucidating even further. Yoel and Caroline, I want to thank you so much for telling us about your important work. I should mention that in addition to NICHD, this research was also supported by the NIH's National Center for Advancing Translational Sciences. Well, I guess that concludes our research conversation for today. I'd like to thank Dr. Sadowski and Dr. Coyne for speaking with us, and I'd like to thank our listeners for joining us. Have a good day.